Welcome to a recording of Titusville Free Methodist Church, a community planted in the forgiveness, freedom, and fullness of Jesus Christ. We thank you for your interest and pray that you are blessed as you listen to this relevant word.
Good morning, everyone. Great to see you this morning. Glad that you're here. It's been a wonderful time already. We had a really great time at first service as well. We've been in a series on the Holy Spirit called Spirit-Filled Life. Because there is no other life. The life of the church and the life of the believer is a spirit-filled life. There is no church without the Spirit filling that body. And there is no life in us. There is no life in Christ without the Spirit filling us. So we're talking specifically during the course of this summer about what that looks like. So last week and this week, we're talking about spiritual gifts. Now the reason we're talking about spiritual gifts is we want to be able to see a church, our church, function and become all that God intends it to be. And so for that, it's very clear in the New Testament that God's means of doing that, his way of doing that, is to give gifts to all of the members of the body. And when all of the members of the body use their spiritual gifts, the church is built up. So this is what Paul says in Ephesians 4. So today what I want you to do is we're going to have some fun today. We're going to look at some different scenarios that would require spiritual gifts to be active in the church, and we're going to let you shout out what spiritual gifts you think would be needed right there. But first we're going to do like this really fast forwarding, this fast movement toward all the spiritual gifts and what they are and what they look like. And so what I want you to do to help us do that is, number one, I want you to get out your insert. All right, everybody get out your insert. And I want you to turn on the back of your insert. And there on the back of your insert, you're going to find a chart. And that chart has three lists. These are the gifts lists from 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and Romans 12. And so as I go through these, I'm just going to give you a sentence or two. A sentence or two about what this particular spiritual gift is. Now, before we enter into this, we're going to pray, but I want to preface this all by saying one more thing. You can also open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12. That would be an awesome thing too. You may have been in churches or with people where you had a bad experience with a spiritual gift. It's highly possible. I want to say it's highly likely. I've been a follower of Jesus. I've been a Christian since I was 12 years old, and I have had plenty of experiences where I have seen spiritual gifts misused or abused. Now, if that's true for you, let's hold on to this. If they've been misused or abused, they can also be properly used and rightly used. And that's what we want to be able to get at. How do we understand and how do we rightly use the spiritual gifts? So let's pray, and then we're just going to, we're going to move really fast through this first part. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your Spirit, the gift of your Spirit to us. How the Spirit has given us life. And we thank you for the gift of your Spirit giving life to the church. And now, God, I pray that our minds and our hearts would be open to clearly understanding what your spiritual gifts are, and that we as a church and as individual followers of you would eagerly desire the gifts and even pray for them, and that we would see them operating in our church so that your church, even this church, could be built up and become all that it was meant to be. Amen. Amen. All right, so you got the chart, and maybe you've opened your Bible to 1 Corinthians 12, and so here we're going to go, we're going to run through the gifts. Number one, the gift of wisdom. Wisdom. Wisdom brings clarity and understanding into a situation. The gift of wisdom enables that person that has it to make an analysis of a situation that nails it dead on. So we have a person in our church, at least one, that I believe has the gift of wisdom. That's Bonnie Gross. Ever since I have known her from the very beginning. She can look at a situation, and whatever she says about it, it's like, oh, wow, that's right. That's right. It's the gift of wisdom. The gift of knowledge is when you know something that you have no business knowing. You didn't learn it. You didn't study it. Somebody didn't tell it to you. It's some kind of factual information that God and only God has made known to you. That's the gift of knowledge. The gift of faith is to believe God for big things because he's a big God. To believe God for big things because he's a big God. In a previous century, there was an Englishman named George Mueller who ran an orphanage. And he ran this orphanage totally on faith, meaning he never sent out a support letter, he never sent out a fundraising letter, never asked to be invited to a church so he could share his ministry and raise money. All he ever did was pray and believe that God would send the money, and God always did. George Mueller had the gift of faith. We had a man who was a part of our church for a long time, taught the adult Sunday school class during first service. It was Jim Thomas. Jim Thomas, I always believed, had the gift of faith. He believed big things from a big God, and he did it quite naturally. That's the gift of faith. The gift of healing. The gift of healing is when you pray for the sick and the hurt, and you see them healed and made whole. The gift of miracles or works of power. So this is a little bit harder for me because I'm thinking, that's kind of like the gift of healing, kind of. And so to distinguish it, I want to say the gift of miracles or works of power is any supernatural work that's unrelated to our health. Can I say it? But I think it also includes, because miracles are also called works of power, I think it also has to do with the demonic. Ministering to people who are demonized, ministering to people who are oppressed by evil spirits, and being able to recognize those and bring deliverance to people from those. Gifts of miracles and works of power. The gift of prophecy. Paul says this is the most important gift. The gift of prophecy is the ability to bring the word of God to a person or a church. To be able to stand with a person or stand before a church and say, I think this is what God is saying to the churches. Now, notice I began with the word I think. In the Old Testament, we had prophets that said, thus saith the Lord. In our day, we believe the gift of prophecy is such that someone who speaks a prophetic word or ministers as a prophet has to be able to submit to the discernment of other people. But it's to be able to speak the word of God into a person's life or into a church. The gift of discerning spirits. So later on in a different letter to a different church, in the book of Ephesians, Paul has this magnificent chapter on spiritual warfare and about putting on the full armor of God. And as an introduction into that portion of the letter, he says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against spiritual authorities in high places. How do you know when something else is at work? How do you know when it's like there's something more going on here? Something that we cannot see. It's not always in the natural realm. Sometimes it's in the heavenly realm. Sometimes it's in the spiritual realm. And so a person that's able to discern the work of principalities and powers, they have the gift of discerning of spirits. All right, speaking in tongues, this is the gift of being able to speak or pray in a language that you have not learned. It might be an earthly language. It might be a language from a different culture or a different time, or it might be a heavenly language. But it's a language that you've never learned, and yet you speak it. The gift of interpretation of tongues is to listen to somebody that has the gift of tongues and say, I know exactly what they said, even though you've never learned that language either. The gift of apostleship. The gift of apostleship is maybe the most contested gift in terms of understanding what it exactly is. So I'm going to say, like, this is what I think. Other people think other things. But because of what the word apostle means and because of what the apostles did, I think the gift of apostleship has to do with being able to start a new church in a new place. To start a new church in a new place where people have never heard the gospel before. The gift of teaching, or for teachers, it's the ability to explain and instruct in a way that the ways of God become clear. Isn't that an awesome gift? To be able to explain and instruct so that the ways of God become clear. The gift of helps. The gift of helps is in that person who is always showing up in a way that leads the recipient of the work to conclude that God showed up. Like somebody just happened to show up. Somebody just happened to show up in Juanita's yard. And for Juanita, it wasn't like 20 men, women, and children. It was like God showing up. I'm submitting to you that the gift of helps was at work in that moment. The gift of leadership is to be able to oversee the work of an organization or a church with mission, with vision, mission, and purpose, and means. To be able to look and say to a group of people, that's where we need to go, and this is the way to get there. That's the gift of leadership. The gift of evangelism is the gift of being able to share the gospel in such a way that people are compelled to believe the gospel and receive Jesus. The gift of pastoring, or the gift of pastors, the word pastors in the New Testament is the same word as for shepherd. It's also the word for overseer. So pastors oversee the spiritual life of individuals and churches. The gift of serving and ministry, that's this ability to be able to get down on your knees and wash a person's feet or to do whatever else happens to need done at any particular given time and place. The gift of encouragement. All right, so the gift of encouragement, one of the most frequent things that's spoken of in the New Testament is the need for Christians to persevere, to continue on. For example, in the book of Revelation, it is so much about persevere, don't give up, keep going. Paul says, keep on keeping on. Another place is Paul talks about striving forward and not looking back. A couple years ago, we had a series on how to grow in our faith, and we quoted Sarah Bessie, who said that perseverance was this need for us to keep not quitting. Keep not quitting. All right, so the person that has the gift of encouragement says the things and does the things that help us keep not quitting. The person that has the gift of encouragement helps us to persevere. So that's the gift of encouragement. The gift of giving, that's this amazing ability to live on less so that you can give more. The gift of mercy is being the heart of Jesus to people in need. People are in need and you show up, and for them it's like Jesus showed up because you bring the heart of Jesus. Now, here's something I want us to say about all of the gifts. Almost all of the gifts that I mentioned and described to you in just one or two sentences, they can almost all be seen in the natural realm, right? Like the gift of tongues. So we've had a man in our church from Africa, from Togo, who's on our platform and spoke to us. He knows five languages. Like, he's really multilingual. His knowing five languages is not the gift of tongues. Like, he grew up with those languages or he learned those languages. It's not the same. Medical professionals, they bring healing skills to our body, and we appreciate that. The way we distinguish between an ability in the natural realm and a spiritual gift is a spiritual gift has this God effect that is unexplainable. This God effect that is unexplainable. When it's a spiritual gift, it causes us to say, God has been among us. That's actually in 1 Corinthians 14. God is being among us. That's when it's a spiritual gift. When it's a spiritual gift, it builds up the church or it builds up the believer. Spiritual gift builds up the church or builds up the believer. So here's another thing I want us to say about spiritual gifts. We as a church, and as a church tradition and a theological tradition, we believe that all of the gifts are still operative today. We believe that the Holy Spirit is sovereign over all the gifts, and he activates any of the gifts he wants in people whenever he sees a need for those gifts. Not all churches believe that. Some churches believe that some gifts are no longer in use and no longer need to be in use. We find no place in Scripture to give warrant to that. In the Free Methodist Church and in our Wesleyan tradition, we have never had an occasion to believe that, nor do we. We think all of the gifts are available to all of the churches. Here's another thing we don't believe about spiritual gifts. We don't believe that there are things you don't have to do because you don't have the gift. All right? So we don't believe that. Just because you don't have the gift doesn't mean you don't do it. So you might not have the gift of giving. We still give 10% because that's faithful giving. You don't have the gift of giving, but we still give. We don't have the gift of faith, but we still believe. We don't have the gift of tongues, so we don't have this prayer language, but we still pray. We don't have the gift of evangelism, but we still share our faith. We don't have the gift of healing, but we still pray for people to be made well. We don't have the gift of wisdom, but we still have to do the wise thing. So, right, you understand what I'm saying, right? Like, just because you don't have the gift doesn't mean you still don't participate in this part of our Christian life. Okay, so what I want us to do, so we're going to have some fun. And what I want you to do is I want you to turn to the front side of your insert. And on the front side of your insert, you see the letters A, B, C, and D. And a blank line. So I'm going to share with you five scenarios. These are five true-to-life, actual in our church scenarios that would have benefited or will benefit or did benefit from the presence of spiritual gifts being at work in one person or several, all right? So what I want to do is I'm going to describe the scenario, and then I want you to write down what gifts or gifts you think might be had been useful in that scenario. Does that make sense? All right, so you're going to write them down, but I'm also going to we're just going to call it out. So every year we have the Encounter God Retreat. It occurs in February or March, and the Encounter God Retreat is all about finding absolute forgiveness and freedom from strongholds in our life. And the genius of the Encounter God Retreat, if you've ever been on it, the genius of the Encounter God Retreat is ministry partners. So we have a couple of participants, and we take the participants and we pair them up in teams, and we teach them how to bring forgiveness and freedom to the person that they're praying with. And the person that they're praying with learns how to bring forgiveness and freedom to them, all right? So making good pairings there is really important. So as a leadership team, we meet together beforehand at the Encounter God Retreat, and so we're in a circle as a leadership team, and we're pairing the ministry partners, and we're stuck. Like, some of them are just easy. Some of them are just, like, so natural. Some of them are hard. So we're making our ministry partners, and we've prayed over these. And so when we get to the end, we've got these three people who, for this reason or that, we can't pair with that person or this. And we wrestle over it, and we struggle over it, and we consider all these possibilities. Like, we throw it all up in the air, and we try to put it back together again. We consider multiple possibilities, and as we do, we ask, is everybody at peace with this? And it's like, no, this won't work because. All right, what spiritual gifts do we need right there? Okay, so write it down first. Did you say that? Yeah, so that would be one, if you didn't hear it, discernment. We need the gift of discernment. What else? What other spiritual gift would you look to be activated there that will help us out? What? Wisdom, right? What else? Knowledge, that's right. Who said that? Adam, way to go. Gift of knowledge would really be important there. So here's the gift I called out on this one particular instance. I asked if anybody in our circle had the gift of tongues so that they could pray. Because we were at a point where we didn't even know how to pray anymore. Because we just kept praying, but we still didn't have the answer. And so I just said, do any of you have the gift of tongues? I want you just to pray. Like, not pray out loud necessarily, or not pray for someone to interpret or anything like that. I just want you to pray in your prayer language, because we're having trouble knowing what to pray. So all of those different gifts would have been important there. Do you understand that there are things at stake here, right? Like, to put the wrong partners together, which has happened, can be pretty disastrous. To put the right people together can be life-giving. So we're asking God to provide his spiritual gifts so that we put the right people with the right people. Okay, so here's another scenario, like wildly different. Out in our parking lot, we've got a building in our parking lot. It's not put together because we don't have an erector set, but the materials for the shell of our building are paid for. Unbelievably, and I do mean unbelievably, we are still trying to get all of the permits, permissions, and clearances we need. Just this past Thursday, Tom McGill and I were at the Oil Creek Township meeting getting approval for an action that we had already taken July 30th, 2018. Like we had the paperwork stamped, received July 30th, 2018, and somehow or other, it still didn't get filed properly, and time had expired, and so we needed to start all over again. Meanwhile, through all of this time when we've been working to get all the permissions, permits, and clearances, the financial condition of our church has changed. The financial condition of our church has weakened since the time we voted virtually 9-1 to approve the building project. So the money is harder to come by. And the money won't come until all the permits are in place. So this kind of a scenario, this has some people questioning if we made the right decision. We have some people who are thinking that maybe this is the way God is choosing to tell us that we were wrong. Meanwhile, all of the reasons that we sought to build at the inception of the project are just as true or truer than they were when we started. And not only that, when we started, we sought God. Before we started, we sought God, and we prayed, and we fasted, and we read scripture, and we believed that God spoke to us. And yet here we are. All right. So what spiritual gifts do we need to see activated now? Faith? Who said that? That's right. We need the gift of faith to believe big things from a big God. What else do we need? Pardon? Miracles? Yeah. Somebody said that at first service too. Great. Someone else was said over here. Encouragement. That's right. We need the gift of encouragement to tell people, let's keep going, keep persevering, don't give up. What else? Giving. Thanks, Katie. The gift of giving. Do you know that I've been in conversations with three of my peers who've all been through building projects, and yeah, you know what? For all three of them, they kind of started. One of them started way before us. Two of them started. Oh wait, four. Four peers. Yeah, that's right. Four peers who roughly in that same time frame. Their building projects are all complete. They all had six-figure givers. Six-figure givers. One of them said there are 12 people in their church that pays for the building. Oh, 12 people that pay for 90% of the building. People that have the gift of giving. Okay, we had zero six-figure givers. The biggest individual gift we had was $40,000. Okay, so that's one. So the gift of giving, that would be awesome. It'd be awesome to pray for that. What else? Leadership, that's exactly right. We need the gift of leadership. It would be great if I had the gift of leadership right now, right? Who said that? Yeah, right, thanks, Denny. talk to you later. Just to say, hey, here's where we need to be. Here's how we're going to get there. I got one more. What else you got? Discerning spirits? Yeah, like what else is going on here? Who said that? Yeah, I think that's really good. Something else might be going on here. I got one more. I got the gift of prophecy. Because we actually believe that there were at least two people who like spoke a prophetic word into this process when we started. And it would be really great to hear that again for someone to say, I think this is a word from God for us. That would be great. And again, prophetic words always need to be tested, not just accepted. They need to be tested. But it'd be great to hear one. All right. Awesome. Scenario number three. Are you ready? You walked into church on Sunday morning. You were the first one to walk into a particular children's ministry room. And when you walked into that children's ministry room, you discovered that the custodian had not emptied Friday's trash from the daycare rooms. Now, yes, that's right. So daycare rooms have a particular kind of trash that as it sits, it ripens. And okay, so what particular gift might we need right there? Serving? Helps? Anybody want to say something that might be, seem a little more obvious? Forgiveness is what was just said over there. Okay, so here's my answer, like zero. You don't need a spiritual gift to take care of this. Like if you walk into that room and you have a prophecy gift, you don't need to say, I need to go find somebody that has the gift of helps to empty the garbage. It doesn't need to work that way. It's like there's no real gift of taking out the trash. It's just a chore that somebody needs to do. Listen to this. Gifts are how God helps us do the work of the church, but not all the work of the church requires gifts. Are you getting that? That's worth writing down. Gifts are how God helps us do the work of the church, but not all the work of the church requires gifts. Some of the work of the church just requires time. Some of the work of the church just requires muscle, an effort. 4 o'clock today, we're going to have a membership class, and you're welcome to come to that. But in the membership class, we have this thing we call gigs. So we want every member to be a giving, inviting, growing, serving Christian. Giving, inviting, serving, growing. So, no. Growing, inviting, giving, serving. So when we get to serving, we tell people two things. That we want you to serve the church as gifted and where needed. As gifted and where needed. So we never have this excuse to say, that's not my gift. Nursery diaper empty, it's not my gift. Changing diapers, not my gift. It just needs done. So just do it, and do it with a servant's heart, because that's what Jesus is really looking for. He's not looking for all-star, super-gifted people. He's looking for people with servants' hearts. Okay, here's the last one. You doing all right with this? You see how this works? Like this isn't like crazy church. Some of you have been to situations where it seemed like craziness, but this is just normal church. Or this ought to be normal church, where God's Spirit gives us His gifts to do the work He wants us to do. So here's the last one. There's a person who is just kind of distantly connected to our church. He attended a couple of times. He is a relative who is a faithful worshiper with us and a faithful servant with us. And he had been very sick for a long time, and he died on Sunday. His family loves him very much. And when they visited him, they filled several rooms within the house. How do we minister to this family? What kind of gifts would we want to see operative with this family? Okay, prayer. Mercy. The gift of mercy brings the presence of Jesus to people who are in need. That's right. What else you got? Yeah, so love's actually a fruit of the Spirit, and we're going to talk about that next week. But that's really important to bring love. Yeah, so that's part of the gift of mercy. Just look at your list. What other gifts would be helpful here? Okay, encouragement would be great. This is where you get into the gift of service, the gift of helps. Like those stewards that show up and serve these families in love, and There is gifting going on there. Someone at first service mentioned the gift of evangelism, because there's a lot of members of this family that don't know Jesus. And so perhaps sometime in the days ahead, you might have opportunity just to share Jesus with any members of these family that would want to receive him. So yeah, there you go. Five scenarios, four of them needing gifts. Ministry of the church gets done. All right, so how are we going to know what our gifts are? I'm going to give you three quick ways to know what your gifts are. Number one, I want you to look at 1 Corinthians 14. We're going to put this on the screen real quick. Paul actually says, follow the way of love. So you heard that. So love covers all the gifts. That's the way you use them. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Paul says to desire the gifts. Desire the gifts. So desire and prayer. I think it's perfectly right and good to pray for the gifts to be operative within the church and within you. Secondly, necessity and risk. So one of the next steps on your connection card is to allow yourself, put yourself in places where gifts are required. So within your small group or within your ministry team where gifts can be used, gifts can be tried out. I might have the gift of something, but I just don't know. So you put yourself there. So you take a risk and you put yourself in these necessary places. Gift of fruitfulness. When you serve, when you do ministry, where do you see great fruit? That's probably your gift. So we want to help you find your gift. And one of the ways we want to help you do it is through something called the shape inventory. So Sarah, go ahead and put that on the screen. This is my shape inventory. And the way to do the shape inventory is to say that you want to and give us your email address. And Sherry Osborne will send you a link. And you'll go to it and it'll look like this. You'll see our T-Free Church logo up on the right and the letters S-H-A-P-E. So the S is the only part that's spiritual gifts. The other letters there, H is for your heart. This is where your passions are. A is for your abilities. P is for your personality, what you're designed for. And E is your experiences. So the shape inventory is to help you find the place to serve, the place to do ministry. One piece of that is discovering your spiritual gift. So we want you to do the whole thing, but you can do it in segments. So the first one is your spiritual gifts. And there's 95 questions you'll go through there. And so I'll give you a sample of what they look like. Number one says, so remember, this is mine. Number one says, I enjoy organizing events, people, and tasks. The box I checked said, never, not at all. I don't like doing that. That's why Sherry Osborne is on our staff. There's another one further down here that says, I help people understand their relationship with God through artistic expression. Again, never, not at all. I don't have any artistic expression. I am able to communicate God's word with clarity and effectiveness. Okay, so you know what? To whatever degree, I'm going to check a positive box on that one, because I think I do that. So you just go through the whole thing. You answer the 95 questions. Now, there's some spiritual gifts that aren't represented in the shape inventory, partly because they don't need to be. So you don't need to answer a question to tell you whether or not you have the gift of speaking in tongues, right? If you hear a language coming out of your mouth that you've never studied or learned or heard before, you don't need an inventory to tell you, I think you might have the gift of speaking in tongues. So they're not all represented. Inventories are limited, but they're a good start. So take the shape inventory. You'll find it really interesting, and you might find this beautiful place that God has you to serve. So the other next steps, Keep reading these gift passages. Let God speak to you through them. Do the shape inventory. Pray for the gifts and pray for our church to welcome them. But then put yourself in places where you can learn to use your gift. Get in a ministry team. Get in a small group. So many of these spiritual gifts, hardly any of these spiritual gifts can be utilized where you sit right now. You don't operate in spiritual gifts from the pew. But you put yourself in community with people. You put yourself in small groups where you can begin to just, with people you trust, with people who you're allowed to fail with. Like, oh, I thought this, but maybe I was wrong. And there are those people. They're like, that's okay. Like, there's a wideness in God's mercy. That's a great hymn, by the way. There's a wideness in God's mercy that can be reflected in the group. So check one of those boxes and think about those. Meanwhile, I'm going to ask Jessica Morris to come on up, and the worship team is going to come on up with her. And Jessica Morris is going to show you one of these places where you can serve where gifted or as needed, and where you might actually discover you have a certain spiritual gift that you didn't know. Jessica?
Well, hello. So we've been hearing a lot about spiritual gifts and where we can serve our church. One of them right now is in children's ministry, so that's what I'm up here to talk to you about. So just a little bit of background why I got involved in children's ministry is because our kids need a place to go and be safe and be taken care of. For me, when my older two were younger, it was hard to go to service and get up every Sunday and go to church and be more concerned about what they were doing, if they were bothering the congregation because they were crying, we didn't take enough activities to keep them busy, or snacks, or whatever else we could come up with, or just they weren't feeling well. But for here, we want to provide a place for your kids to be safe and to learn about the different monthly activities that we're doing. Right now is obedience, which is a very good one for them to learn about doing what's right and listening and following God's commands versus our own. And then also for the parents, that's kind of what the children's ministry is about as well. For the parents to know that their hour here in service is for them to worship, to listen to the word and listen to the message, and not feel like they have to be more concerned about their kids because we're going to try to take care of them as best as we can. I know that some of them aren't going to go with some of the teachers. Other ones, like my son included, who's laying on the floor right now, are going to stay in service as well, but just to know that there's a place. But we always need helpers. I have a great bunch of volunteers that already help and teach your kids every Sunday, but there's always room for substitutes, or just first service or second service or whatever, wherever you would like to serve. So on this green paper, please put your name, check any boxes, whether it be for Sunday or Wednesday, because we have Kids Club coming up, which is super important as well, and then put it in with your connection card and your offerings when they pass around the baskets. So thank you.
Thank you for listening. We invite you to visit our website at tfreechurch.org to listen to our regular podcast and find out more about all that is T3 Church.